Tell me if this resonates, sister. You're deep in your business versus working on your business, and therefore you can't get ahead of your business. I have been there and done that, and it nearly drowned me. It wasn't until I tamed my masculine energy, reawakened my feminine energy, and then integrated the two that my nervous system healed and my business blossomed. I wrote a book in less than 3 months. I sold my business. I built a team that supports me, giving me more time and energy to create and stay in my zone of genius. I've become a feminine business leader, and I want to show you how you can become one too in 2025. In the Feminine Frequency Business School, my 12-week group coaching and certification for female entrepreneurs who are ready to attract more clients, expand their businesses to seven figures and beyond, and do it all with ease. This program holds the keys and the executive level coaching you've been missing your entire entrepreneurial career and gives you the credentials to set you apart as a female entrepreneur. Implement these tools and your business will thrive. You'll feel in tune with your body and your purpose. You'll see your bank account grow exponentially, and that's a fact. You will see your dreams manifest and step into an entirely new reality. If you're eager to scale a business, brand, and platform that doesn't run your life but sustains it, the Feminine Frequency Business School is here. Doors are open, so visit jessicazweig.com/FFBS to enroll. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast.
Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. Oh my gosh, this one we're going to go deep and we're going to get a little historical. I want to take you a little bit back before I take you way back. And when I say way back, I mean like from the very, very beginning back on this planet back, like the dawn of the earth back. You guys ready? Well, before I do, let me just first officially just say how excited I am to be with you, as I am on every single podcast. These moments where I sit down in my home studio in Nashville, hit record, sit in my chair, hop on the mic are my favorite moments of my week. Honestly, they are. I have many favorite moments of my week. To be frank, I love my team. I love my community. I love being with my husband, snuggling with my dogs. I love spending time with my friends and traveling and hosting my retreats and guiding my queens in the Feminine Frequency Business School and all the things that I do. But, you know, I started listening to podcasts, I don't even know how many years ago, a long time ago. And I remember, you know, you find your favorite shows and then you become addicted and you just listen to all of them week to week. You look forward to them and you really build a connection with the hosts because you're listening to their voices and there's resonance and frequency in one's voice. And that relationship is so intimate. And I feel, you know, like I know the hosts that I listen to. My point is, I don't take this opportunity to come to you guys week to week, speak into your ears, speak into your hearts and souls, most of all, hopefully, and that you could listen to any podcast in the world and that you come here and the community is so tight. You guys really are coming back week after week after week, listening to all of the shows. And it is just such an honor to be able to bring these conversations that I have with my beautiful guests, as well as the solo podcast, diving into the topics that, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know, really center on the intersection of business, being a boss babe, hustling in a new vibration, and spirituality, and all of the woo-woo magical, but truthfully, I believe, factual things that exist in this universe and how we can join them to live more in alignment at the end of the day as women. And, you know, so much of the work that I am doing in this sort of new chapter of my career, although it's, you know, new-ish. I actually ran my first business when I was 26 years old, knew nothing about business. Ran a magazine in Chicago, a digital magazine in 2008 through 2014 at the dawn of the internet. Basically, social media had just really began in 2008 and built a big brand, but also failed that as a business. It was a financial disaster and didn't know how to be a leader, didn't know how to really scale a business as a strategist, as a marketer, as a brander. I had, you know, instincts, but I really wasn't a CEO of a company at that point. I was a co-founder, but I kind of figured out, you know, we don't win or we lose, we win or we learn. And then I started a second business and that business did a lot better. And I ended up scaling that business to a multi-million dollar company, ended up exiting that business and started my third business because I love to work and I don't want to, you know, ever stop bringing these kinds of things into the world. I'm so fulfilled by being in community with all of you. But this is my third rodeo and I have, you know, built a current business very, very differently than I've built any other business that I ran. And it's everything, to be honest. And I say this with so much gratitude and so much humility. It's like literally everything I've ever wanted. I have a very peaceful life. I have a very manageable schedule most of the time. I have an amazing team around me that are all so gifted and talented in their own right that support me and lift me up and allow me to stay in the lane of a visionary queen CEO. I get to now bring all of this knowledge to my community and how they can become queen CEOs, build businesses with a lot more effortlessness and ease, and at the same time, really step up and be true executive, for lack of a better term. Like, I know we're entrepreneurs and that word executive can kind of feel like crunchy and corporate, but you have to have a certain level of confidence and assertion and acumen and strategy and foresight and embodiment and being a leader in order to make a business go. But it's not the whole story, especially obviously, most of all, as women, we are designed to do business and to work very, very differently. And as such, the cornerstone of my work really has been dedicated directly and indirectly to the matriarchal principles of our world that are really founded upon goddess wisdom, ancient teachings and understandings and consciousness to how we are supposed to live our lives, know our power, stand in our truth, celebrate who we are as women, and bring that into our businesses at the forefront. That's what I'm up to in the world. And I know that you are too, because you're here. And so this business, you know, my feminine frequency business school and my retreats and my masterminds and my community and all the things that I do, this understanding of the matriarchal codes is really the underbelly of it all. And I teach this in very direct ways in all of my containers. But I wanted to come on the podcast today and really take you through some of the foundational understandings of the matriarchy. I've talked at times about this. It really was my trip to Egypt when I went to that country at the end of 2022. I know I've talked about that trip a lot. I wrote about it extensively in my book, The Light Work, but in summation, that trip really represented an ego death. And I came home a completely new version of myself with so much new information in my cells, in my DNA, a new consciousness, a new frequency, the feminine frequency that I got activated with in these very powerful sacred sites, primarily the temples of the goddesses that were there, Isis, Sekhmet, and Hathor. And it set me on this massive journey to deep dive. I'm kind of a, you know, if I could like retire early and kind of do what I wanted, you guys know what I'd really want to do. Well, first of all, I'd want to save all the animals on the planet and like donate all my money philanthropically and become an activist to like save the oceans and the dolphins and the whales and the sharks. I'm not kidding. But I would most likely become a philosopher and just read books about ancient times all day long. Like, it's my secret passion hobby, and the books on my bookshelf are pretty esoteric and fringy, and they have led me down the most beautiful path. And not everybody is going to pick up a 1,000-word research encyclopedia tome on, you know, the matriarchy or the womb or the ancient serpent of light, but like, that's me, guys. And I'm taking one for the team. And I'm here to bring you these codes in the most digestible way so that you can, for lack of a better term, wake up, like just understand what we've been asleep to. And, you know, many of these books that I read aren't necessarily woo books. They're science books and they're history books. And so when I came back from Egypt, I went on this excavation because I got all these codes there and I was like, okay, I need to unpack this. I got these massive downloads from cosmic galactic source and the information came through really strong and really hard, but they were just that. They were downloads in a matter of minutes or seconds even in some of these temples. And I carried them home with me and I had no choice but to really go deeper on interpreting those messages. And much of that was hugely supportive in researching for my book. And I'd actually recommend if you've picked up a copy of The Lightwork, Reclaim Your Feminine Power, Live Your Cosmic Truth, and Illuminate the World. Many of you have gotten that book. It was a USA Today bestselling book. And there's just been such a beautiful response to the book. If I'm going to make any recommendation, hopefully you've read all three sections and the Lightworker Toolkit and all the resources that I give in the back on how to live your light and listen to the music and buy the right crystals and get the right oracle decks and listen to all the podcasts. I have a reading list in the resource book. And actually at the very back of the book, I have citations. You know, anytime that you incorporate any other author's work in your book, you have to quote and credit them, as that's obvious. And so if you really want to go an extra step, because there are a handful of books that I worked with to bolster the development of that book, you should go look at the citations and pull out a handful of other books that I didn't include in the resource guide that you can add to your bookshelf if you are so inclined to go deeper into this work and understanding yourself. But like I said today, I'm going to just break it down. I'm going to give you some new codes, summarize them for you, really ensure that you can put them into practice. But before I do that, as I mentioned at the top of this episode, that I'm going to take you back and then I'm going to take you way, 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 way back to like the beginning. Okay. So first, let me just take you back to my childhood. And I only share these anecdotal pieces of my personal story as a true reflection for you to see yourself in my story as a little girl, because I don't think that we're all that different. I think that many of us as little girls grew up loving to play pretend, loving princesses and queens, and loving to dance and draw and act and sing and skip and get lost in the backyard forest of our little homes, maybe with the flowers, and talk to fairies. That was at least my childhood. I actually ended up going into theater and becoming an artist and graduated from college as an actress, a professionally trained actress, because I felt so in alignment with expressing myself as a creative, right? And whether that was your journey or not, I mean, we all go off and become well-formed adults and do a lot of different diverse and amazing and important things. When we really go back and meet our little girl and really tune in to her innate, innocent nature and what she resonated with and attuned to, I think that we have a lot in common. And then, like me, maybe you came into puberty and you got your period. I haven't really ever shared this publicly. Not that it's that cool for you guys, but I think that this is pretty wild. I got my period on my 13th birthday. I woke up with my period on my 13th birthday. And the number 13 is the number of the goddess, but I digress. And then I got boobs and my hair changed and my skin changed. And all of a sudden, boys looked at me differently and I was ridiculed and I was told to, you know, like use a tampon in shame because, you know, don't let anyone know you're bleeding. And then, of course, my sexuality formed and I went on that journey as a slightly older teenager and into my college years. And that was a very confusing road and didn't have any real education, whether it was from my schooling or my parents, on the power of pleasure and the magic of sexuality. Like, those things are not taught to us, right? We learn them in the real world on the job, so to speak, and it's clunky and it can be traumatic. And all of these aspects, right, of our playfulness and our menstruation and our sexuality and our expression, let alone our emotions, which are so big as we grow up as young little girls that become teenagers, adolescents, fully grown women, aren't always received. And so by the time we come into our careers, on a subconscious, conscious level, we have either shamed certain parts of ourselves, locked away certain parts of ourselves, completely forgotten parts of ourselves. And the biggest, I think, true destabilization of it all is that we enter a world founded by patriarchal values across the media, across society, across business, across religion, culture, schooling. It's pervasive. I say this literally in my book, we are fish swimming in that water. It's our environment. We don't think it's odd. It's just what is. It's all we know. We don't even see it. And once you see it, and I'm here today to help you see it, you can't unsee it. And I say this all the time, constantly, that it is such an exciting time to be alive because so many people on this planet are waking up, not just women, but men too, to the collective power of this great mother earth that we are standing upon as one. And it is a feminine being. It always has been. And what's really devastating, but also such an essential opportunity, is to start to move through our lives with different standards, with a different consciousness, with different actions that will have an impact now and into the future of a more healed world. And that starts with healing ourselves. And I think specifically as women, we have to heal the forgotten feminine that lives within all of us. And there is a very big reason why it's been forgotten. It's intentional. It was literally erased for eons. This planet was a feminine-led planet. And as the feminine matriarchal systems were born and were really, truly at the helm of all civilization as we know it today, women were the original pioneers of pretty much everything we think is male-created. Literally, pretty much everything from metallurgy. Women created and burned melted metals to create not just swords, but jewelry and ornaments and sacred items, agriculture, farming, the calendar system, pottery, textiles, science, language, business, community development. It's truly, you might listen to me say all this and be like, no way, but it's true. And as the father God was basically born in the dawn of the patriarchy at the start of world religion, Christianity, the development of church and state, there was a huge threat by men of that power that women held. And so in order to take control, women were demonized. Women were called dangerous and ultimately witches. For hundreds and hundreds of years, between 1200 to around 1700, which I've said before isn't that long ago, millions of women were murdered for being women, magical, connected to the moon, to nature, to the cycles, to communing with this great planet called Mother Gaia. And that has not only caused fear for us to step into our power again, sensually, sexually, magically, but it has caused an amnesia. And, you know, I'm going to the Great Isle of Avalon in July. So I'm taking my mastermind group. I host an exclusive private mastermind once a year called the Seven Sisters, and it's only seven women. And we travel globally to a sacred site. This has been my vision, and we're finally doing it. And so many people have said, Jessica, can I go to Egypt with you? When are you going to Egypt again? Can I jump on that trip? And while Egypt was amazing, and I will probably do that one of these days, and I will be going back, I wanted to go back to, it's actually in Glastonbury in the English countryside. It's also called the Isle of Avalon, a three-dimensional labyrinth, which has an indwelling goddess with a blood well, a chalice well, and it's an other world place of death and magical rebirth. And there's a place called Silbury Mound that is supposedly the pregnant womb of the earth, along with the Avonbury Stone Circle and West Kennet. And it's the abode of the Dark Mother. It's the most sacred and magically powerful goddess site in the Northern Hemisphere. And I am taking my women there, and I was researching it as, you know, I prepare for this trip. It's not happening for another couple of months, but I was reading about Stonehenge. It's one of the great wonders of the world, Stonehenge. It's located about an hour outside of Glastonbury. And I was researching it, and it was like, I know what Stonehenge is. I'm going to explain to you what it is. But I was reading about it, and I saw all of these descriptions that it was a monument developed by the priests and the aristocrats to demonstrate and show wealth and power, when in fact it was not. It was developed by women as a planetary clock that could track the moon cycles and the solstices and the equinoxes. And therein lies the metaphor of what we've just forgotten and how we've been written out. And so I want you to just spend a little bit of time really tracking back to your little girl, to your adolescent, to your teenager, to your adult young woman in the world, and recall what she loved the most. What was she like before she lost her innocence? And try and track where and when she did, and why, and from whom, and from what. Because when we can go back there in our mind, and this might bring up a lot as it has for me, we reclaim those parts of ourselves. We acknowledge those parts of ourselves as not only valid, but sacred and necessary. And when we can hold and integrate those pieces of ourselves in our adult lives, no matter what happened to her, that little girl, we get to take care of her now. We get to integrate her now. We get to show up with her codes now and live with her in not just our hearts, but in the forefront of our lives. And this is really what all of the great matriarchal goddesses have been waiting for us to do and remember. You know, I sit in some of my circles with my sisters, whether it's with my mastermind women or my retreat women or my girlfriends even, or my FFBS, Feminine Frequency Business School community. And I literally have thoughts in my mind as I'm listening to them speak, like the ancient, timeless, matriarchal goddesses are crying tears of joy down upon this conversation. This is what they have been waiting for. And I believe we've all been waiting for a new dawn, a new earth to be born so that we can live our lives in these modern times that are so linearly driven from these masculine constructs. I mean, the calendar as we know it, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, 24/7, January through December, was developed by a pope in the 1500s. It's literally made up. It was written down on a piece of paper. And now that's the entire internal, external clock of the human species, at least the majority of it. There are definitely people living off grid and like communing with nature in their own compounds. And like, I'd love to tap into that. And I can't all the time per se, but I do get to create my own world. And so do you. And that simple awareness is really the unlock. This is the year of the snake. I've mentioned this a lot on the podcast. I'm hosting a 3-day live activation event on the first full moon of the Lunar New Year on February 11th, 12th, and 13th. For a reason. It is such a big moment. It is a yin year. The snake represents death and rebirth. And my hope for all of us, I say this with all power and intention around your highest good, is that the parts of you that are truly no longer serving you, especially in the vein of living in the patriarchal lie, die, and that you can step forward into a new version of yourself that is so empowered in your feminine truth. And I really hope that you join me at the Feminine Wealth Unlock. It's a totally free event. I am giving you 3 keys each day to unlock wealth in your business, as much as your body and your life. A whole new paradigm of prosperity is coming to you. You just need the keys to get there. And I'm giving you literally everything that I have used myself to create a business and a life and a bank account that I am so at peace within, because I have tapped into this new consciousness. I know it's possible. I've helped now hundreds of women in my new business
arrive here too. And I wanted to share it with my entire community. So I really hope you come and tap into this whole new part of yourself to have the most abundant year of your life. Like I said at the beginning, I'm going to end it with this. I took you back. I took you back. And now I'm going to take you way back to the beginning. And speaking of those books that I devoured and have on my nightstand, I'm actually going to read a passage from The Great Cosmic Mother, Rediscovering the Religion of Earth by Monica Sujew and Barbara Moore. This was a book that was written in the 1980s. It's probably collected dust for a couple decades, and I found this book and it changed my life. And I would love to read you this incredibly profound part of this book that turned something on inside me. And I hope that it turns something on inside of you. So this chapter is called The First Sex. We were all created female. All right, here we go. In the beginning was a very female sea. For 2.5 billion years on Earth, told you I was going to take you way back. All life forms floated in the womb-like environment of the planetary ocean, nourished and protected by its fluid chemicals, rocked by the lunar tidal rhythms. Charles Darwin believed that the menstrual cycle originated here, organically echoing the moon pulse of the sea. And because this longest period of life's time on Earth was dominated by marine forms reproducing parthenogenetically, he concluded that the female principle was primordial. In the beginning, life did not gestate within the body of any creature, but within the ocean womb containing all organic life. There were no specialized sex organs, rather, generalized female existence reproduced itself within the female body of the sea. It goes on to talk about how basically the male penis for reproductive purposes didn't evolve until billions of years later, and that this planet was really founded upon the primary female chromosome. And scientists, male scientists over the last, I don't even know however many decades, years, have written that out, have rejected it, have absolutely dismissed it. I highly encourage you to go get this book. This is one of my favorite chapters, is how the book opens. You're like, wait, what? We go way back, that back. And the truth is we do. And it has been a very long time coming for us to reclaim the truth of not just our own power, but how this planet's power was really born. And I hope that this is the year that you are reborn, that you find a new piece of yourself in your feminine identity, and that we together link arms and know that we are more powerful together, because you are just one woman, just as I am one woman, and we really can't change the world without each other. And that's what I'm up to in 2025. And I really hope that you're on this journey with me for the long term, because we've got some work to do and it starts with us. And so thank you for coming along this podcast journey with me today. I hope that it was illuminating and opening and permission giving and activating in all of the most beautiful and gentle ways. I know that when we talk about our upbringing and our becoming, that it can be at times hard and triggering, and just know that you're not alone in any of that, that we together are remembering our power, and the forgetting is often very painful. But I'm with you, sister, and the goddesses of the great matriarch are crying down tears of joy upon your remembering. Remember that. All right, my beautiful friends, I will see you on the next episode of the Spiritual Hustler podcast. Bye, guys.